Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Raw Deal today. We're very pleased to have John Carman back as my guest again. We have a couple of stories I want to introduce and get his comments on that are both quite striking. The very first is that Illinois has banned semi-automatic weapons. Critics vow a core test. Illinois has outlawed automatic weapons amid a torrent of mass shootings, including a 4th of July parade shooting killed seven and injured 30, or so we were told. I've looked into it. This is the Highland Park shooting. It was just as fake and phony as Sandy Hook, Parkland, Charlottesville, Orlando, Dallas, Las Vegas. I mean, it's all just such bullshit. Whenever the Democrats want to move their gun control, they fake one of these shootings. DHS is deeply involved. They pay communities big bucks to bring them about, and then they use them to justify horseshit like this. Now, frankly, because the present Supreme Court is very disposed to support the Second Amendment, I think this would be repudiated by the Supreme Court. But let me give you the rest of the story and a very, very interesting development right in Illinois itself. Pritzker acted without hesitation after the House voted 68-41 to make Illinois the 9th state, as well as Washington, D.C., to prohibit the sale or possession of semi-automatic weapons. The vote concurred with a plan the Senate okayed Monday night. Pritzker was sworn into his second term Monday, celebrated the culmination of what he called a four-year struggle against the powerful forces of gun advocacy groups. We will keep fighting bill by bill, vote by vote, protest by protest to ensure that future generations only hear about massacres like Highland Park, Sandy Hook, and Uvalde in their textbooks. Uvalde, of course, was modeled after Sandy Hook. Instead of shooting his mother and then killing 20 first graders, we had the guy, the perp in Uvalde, shoot his grandmother and then 19 second, third, and fourth graders, where they even recycled players from Sandy Hook. The woman who played Victoria Soto at Sandy Hook played a teacher who was supposed to have been killed at Uvalde. I mean, it's just insulting how they do this again and again and again. In his inaugural address Monday, the Democrat aboard not only the Highland Park mass shooting that also left 30 injured, but frequent gun violence in Chicago, namely the gunplay that killed two 16-year-olds and injured two others last month in Benito Juarez High School in Chicago's West Side. Now, if you look at the statistics, the overwhelming majority of gun violence deaths occur in black on black. They're in the inner cities. It's gang warfare for the most part. You got the occasional bystanders injured in a drive-by or whatever. But that's like 90% of the gun violence in the United States, and that's virtually all done with handguns. Indeed, and when you look at the alternatives, black on white and white on white represent about, 5%. If you got about 90% black on black or 80, then you might have 5% black on white or white on white, then the percentage of white on black is minuscule. It's the lowest of all. I mean, it's going to be less than 2 or 3%. Not only that, but as I'm saying, almost all gun violence in the United States has nothing to do with rifles. Rifles are very rarely ever used in these events, except, of course, for the staged ones, because they're worried that this all-purpose, very versatile AR-15 is just a superior weapon, lightweight, highly accurate, very, very multi-purpose. I've fired one myself, very impressed with the weapon. Is something that could be used to offset, a federal police force or tyranny by our own government. The idea that it could be used by American citizens to come to the aid of the nation in the occurrence of a foreign invasion is never even mentioned. Not only that, but we had a recent report out of the CDC was persuaded by anti-gun lobbyists to suppress information about the defensive use of guns. Now, I've mentioned it before, but it certainly fits here. Americans use guns to defend themselves against criminals millions of times every year, saving an estimated 200,000 American lives every year. Now, that might sound impressive, but it's even more so when you consider that the total number of deaths from gun violence in the U.S. is only around 70,000. And that's including deaths by suicide. I mean, frequently, Americans use guns to take their own lives. Well, those technically turn out to be qualified as homicides of a person by themselves, killing themselves. So, it's just stunning. This is really, really outrageous what's going on here. But what's interesting, too, and this makes it equally fascinating, is the following story. Local Illinois sheriffs won't be enforcing new gun ban, call it a violation of the Second Amendment. That obviously doesn't bother Fitzgerald or the Democrats at all. They don't give a shit about the Constitution. Two local sheriffs, and it's now up to 13. Two local sheriffs are voicing their opposition of a new gun ban in the state, as reported. Illinois put a new ban on the sale and possession of semi-automatic weapons into place Tuesday when Governor Pritzker signed House Bill 5471 into law. The bill bans dozens of brands or types of rifles, handguns, and other guns and devices. It also requires those who own such weapons to register them, including serial numbers, with the Illinois State Police. In a statement issued quickly after the bill was signed, Edwards County Sheriff Darby Bow said he won't be supporting the bill at all, calling it a violation of the Constitution. Neither myself nor my office will be checking to ensure that lawful gun owners register their weapons with the state. Nor will we be arresting or housing individuals who've been charged solely with noncompliance of this act, said Sheriff Darby Wednesday. Following Darby's statement, a nearly identical statement came from Wabash County Sheriff's Office opposing the bill. Several other sheriffs have also issued similar statements. We got as many as 13. Now, what's significant about the sheriffs is that the sheriffs have the responsibility for upholding the Constitution. What this guy, and this is, Illinois is among the most corrupt states in the nation. What the governor is doing is the tip of the spear. He's putting it out there. The fact of the matter is that the Democrats play this whole song and dance on the basis of false beliefs about guns and how the relationship of guns to gun violence, where they would have us believe that the more guns, the more gun violence. Worldwide, the opposite is the case. The more gun ownership, the lower the homicide rate all over the world. Until Canada banned guns, for example. North America had like the lowest homicide rate, the highest gun ownership, lowest homicide rate. Now that Trudeau has banned guns, I'm sure it's going to go up in Canada. In Brazil, in the past now, it has had a high homicide rate because of low gun ownership. But Bolsonaro actually loosened up guns and the homicide rate in Brazil dropped. You have the same thing in Africa. Low gun ownership, high homicide rate. Russia, low gun ownership, high homicide rate. Here are some of those statistics I was talking about. Now, this is in 2013, but I'm quite sure the pattern is the same. This is the number of murders by race per million members. And you got 53.94 black on black. That's about 54 per a million deaths. It's probably actually increased. Then, as I said, whites killed by blacks, 9.83. Whites killed by whites, 10.22. Call them both like 10 per million. So if you got 55, then 10 per million. But the blacks killed by whites is less than 1 per million. It's 0.77, less than 1 per million. Here's another myth. We're told about, in the name of equity, they're claiming that blacks are imprisoned more frequently than whites and that it's on the basis of bias, racial discrimination. But if you actually look at criminal offenses in the United States by race, broken down to Asian, Native American, black, and white, blacks overwhelmingly predominate in every category of crime with the sole exception of liquor-related laws because Native Americans have a genetic incapacity to absorb alcohol. So you have, with regard to liquor laws, you have Native Americans higher, drunkenness, Native Americans higher, driving under the influence, Native Americans higher. But everything else, property crime, drug abuse violations, larceny, theft, assaults, disorderly conduct, violent crime, aggravated assault, burglary, vandalism, weapons carrying, possession, fraud, robbery. It's all blacks overwhelmingly committing the great majority of crimes. So the fact that there is a higher percentage of blacks incarcerated in relation to the percentage in the population is insignificant. What's relevant is that that smaller percentage of the population committing the vast majority of crimes overwhelmingly. Here's like from 2014 in New York City. Arrests for violent crime, shooting, 75% black, 27% Hispanic. That's already 97% of those arrested for shooting in New York City in 2014 were black or Latino. Murder, black, 62%, Latino, 32%. That's why 94% of those arrested for murder in New York in 2014 were black or Hispanic. Rape. Here the Hispanics exceed the blacks, only category. 46% Hispanic, 43% black. So that's right, 89%. Thus, if New York City were all white, rapes would drop by 83%, murder by 91%, shootings by 96%. And my dear colleague, Dr. Ewan, had the brilliance to superimpose a 2016 electoral map over the 2014 murder distribution map. And guess what? The overwhelming percentage of murders, gun violence, and all that are occurring in areas controlled by the Democrats. Why? Because they're creating free fire zones. Because the bad guys on purpose know they're not going to be confronted by some nosy civilian who happens to be packing. So they just go wild. And this is a continuing pattern. There's no question about it. The politics of gun control is simply outrageous. Now, what I find so admirable here is that we have the sheriffs, and I had a call about this just before coming on the show, giving me an update. It's now up to 13 county sheriffs in Illinois who are refusing to abide by this governor's blatantly unconstitutional. I mean, this is just blatantly unconstitutional. And the Supreme Court has had recent decisions that reinforce it. John, I'm just delighted to have you back. Would you like to comment on these developments? What I find so significant, not that the Democrats are passing unconstitutional laws, they do that all the time. What's significant is that you have the county sheriffs who are speaking out publicly in opposition where they have their responsibility to uphold the Constitution. And what's interesting is the governor stated that in the face of their opposition, he would replace them. They'd lose their position, not realizing they're not appointed by the governor. They're elected by the people. And the people in the rural counties of Illinois are not going to get rid of sheriffs who stand up for the Second Amendment. John, your thoughts.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for inviting me on again. And we're on a roll. Happy Friday the 13th, too, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, you hit a lot of interesting stuff that just brought up a lot of background in my law enforcement, extensive background and career, all the stats and all that. And unfortunately, some of that stuff is exactly correct as you stated it. You know, all my black friends would say the same thing. You know, even black people that I know, the honest, good people, and some other ones, extremists or whatever, they'll tell you flat out, carry a gun. Real simple. The police can't go to respond. They are a waste of time in this current situation, date and time. In fact, I just filed a police report on a suspicious vehicle. And even if you don't get the license plate, they don't want to talk to you or get the information. That's ridiculous. It was a very unique situation. People think that, oh, you could just call the police. No, you have to really get engaged with these people, contact them personally, or know somebody on your beat and get to know the beat officer really well so that when you get information, you can pass it on or inform them. Wasting your time on a 911 call or a regular call, you'll be wasting time up to an hour sometimes, 30 minutes to an hour. I've done this before. I've reported all kinds of activity that was real serious, and even the police officers will tell you, call 911. Dispatchers are not police officers, folks. They are not trained. They go on a ride along to get an idea of how the officer gets the call, what he has to go through to answer it, write down an address or locate where he's at to get to it and drive to the location, depending on what kind of call it is. Again, dispatchers are not trained. I've had to chew out dispatchers and tell them up front, I'm a former police officer, do this, do that, get it done, or get me to a supervisor real quick. They don't like that. Tough luck. See what I mean? We're in a special kind of a war here that people don't get. You know, it goes back to what you were saying about the sheriffs. A lot of people think federal government, sheriffs. We had federal agents that had CCWs to carry. I had one just to make sure it didn't confuse people, because if you're off duty, you're off duty. But in federal, you're not off duty. You could be military and be on an assignment. But if you get pulled over by a cop, it will confuse the regular patrol officer unless you did have a permit or something. See what I mean? So it's like it sort of alleviates having to explain, well, I'm undercover, I'm under surveillance, or I'm doing this or I'm doing that. But to reiterate, I'm thinking about all these famous Patriot sheriffs, McLam, and just to name one. Or several others. I reached out to them to get help, and not many people are getting giving whistleblowers help, let alone law enforcement whistleblowers like myself. The sheriff is elected by the people. The sheriff is the most powerful law enforcement official in your area. I'm trying to think of that, that famous guy up in Milwaukee, who was going to be appointed under Trump as an assistant secretary to DHS, black guy, really good. Yeah. And he turned it down because Trump didn't give him DHS secretary. And look at Mayorka. You know, that guy's going to be impeached or something. So what? Impeach them all. Arrest them. Do your job. Congress is still failing right now by all the things that have been going on in history. And as long as people are still walking around, they get away with it. And in case most people didn't know this, just because you go to Congress and testify to Congress and you lie to Congress, they can't do anything about it if you lie. They know this. This is what's going to shock people's way of thinking. Oh, you can't lie. That's 18 U.S.C. 1001. You lie to a federal officer, you've committed a crime. The U.S. attorney will file on you. You can go to prison up to a year in a federal prison or MCC. I've seen it happen, and I know how that works. The problem is, you go to Congress and testify like Fauci, who lied to Ron Paul. I get them mixed up. Rand Paul, Ron Paul, they're related. And he says he's going to put a recommendation so that to the Department of Justice so that they can investigate Fauci's lies. FBI is a Department of Justice. They don't care or give a damn about what Congress says or does or makes allegations about. They do their own investigations. They are the enforcement branch of the judicial branch to go out and investigate. They also, by the way, can't do anything about the executive branch because that oversees them because of the presidential office and things like that, under immunities and all kinds of executive privileges. You know, I had to bring up GarageGate just because that's the new term. So get used to it, GarageGate. That's very interesting. They're speeding up on that. And that means they may be getting ready to do something, but here's the scary part. Let's say they go after Biden like they did Trump and they do their job the proper way. They should be impeaching Biden. How long did it take? Over 2 years. And then Hunter, they should be doing something with him. How long did that take? Why are they waiting till they get a new Speaker of the House, McCarthy? Why did they wait? Because all these years these people are bought off? Yes. Chapo Guzman owns the Democrats. He paid them millions of dollars to keep the border open. And he's worth $250 billion, folks. B. Baker. Trump's probably worth, what, 4.5, 6 if he's lucky this week. McCarthy was recorded as getting somewhere upwards of an outrageous thing. I saw something like he's already a millionaire. And I think I saw something, literally, I think I saw something that said $1 million a month. Are you kidding? That guy could pay all my bills and put me in a home and take care of me so I wouldn't have to be risking myself every day. But yet these people are millionaires. Why are they all millionaires when they go to Congress and the Senate? See? But I think, I'm not sure if I dug into it enough about the sheriff. McClam was one. Huh?
No, go ahead, John. Go ahead. Go ahead. I mean, there's no doubt this is unconstitutional. The Supreme Court would throw it out in a heartbeat. I'm just so impressed that these sheriffs are standing up and telling them to shove it.
Exactly. Here's the problem. I'm listening to the silence by the law enforcement community. I'm a whistleblower, so therefore I am speaking out. I've had to. That's my alleged protection under the law that they don't enforce. I don't get retirement. I don't get Social Security, and I'm 69, and I'm still fighting these bastards right now. And they'll lie to you. They are allowed to lie to you, and they think nothing of it. Oh, just tell him this. Just you know, give him 5, 6, 7 years, and if he's still alive, then we'll eventually pay him something. You know, like $900 a month. People are always saying, "No, you're supposed to get $3,500 to $4,000 a month. I could survive on that. I paid into the system." They lied. Think about this, folks. They lied and they get away with it and I'm suffering. And if I had arrested them at the border or in a law enforcement situation and they lied, the U.S. attorney, if they chose to prosecute, that's the problem. If they chose, they could put them in federal prison. They could do all kinds of things. The laws are on the books. They're choosing not to. And I keep thinking satanic, 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 because these people are doing exactly that. You know, the stuff with the school shootings, telling the police to stand down and wait, like the Uvalde case, which I remember two Border Patrol agents were in the area. They showed up. They were dressed up. They just went in there. That's what you're supposed to do. You got your bulletproof vest on? Get in there. You got your guns and backup? Get in there. Do something. While these other cowards with badges stood down. And believe me, folks, a lot of the people that wore badges, they're not worth it. They're cowards. A lot of them are out there are cowards. They're just doing enough to get the paycheck. They're bought off. They're sellouts. And they're not what you think they are. And I grew up thinking that when I was younger. And I go, wow, this guy's like me. They're not like you. I'm highly trained. They speak several languages. I'm into martial arts. I'm this, I'm that. And I do good things. And I went to church and I believe in God and all these good things. Don't smoke. Don't drink. I'm a monk. They're not the same thing. These people are sellouts. So unless you know the guy personally, he is not the same wearing a badge like you. There are the people I ran into through my career. Secret Service, there were people like that. And I really hate to admit that because I thought that was the epitome. And I was one in 1,500 people that were qualified that got that job. And out of the academy, I could screen out at least 10 or 15 guys out of about 25 to 30, maybe 25, maybe. And a couple of ex-military were usually good guys. Military people are usually the best. I do tend to side with military. I grew up in a military family, so I know that most of those people are generally very, very good. You know, I know for a fact. But when you see these other people, what did you do when you went into Secret Service? What did you do before that? One guy that I actually knew, he picked up golf balls at a driving range for the summer, and he had a four-year degree in mechanical drawing or something. See what I mean? It doesn't make sense. You know, I was doing stuff since I was a kid, graduated, had two degrees, did work for the government before that, and martial arts training, and used to teach martial arts and do all kinds of things. And I was learning several languages and all kinds of things because I traveled every 3 years. That's training. And people are amazed at it. You know, I'm like, oh, John, how did you do all that? And I said, well, I wanted to keep busy. I was doing things. You know, what do you do? What did you do? Sit around in the same town all your life or what? And there are people like that.
John, hold that thought. We'll be right back with John Carman after this break.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, John, you certainly anticipated where I was going, because this business with Biden's office and the appointment of a special counsel, I have a slightly different interpretation. I believe that the appointment of the special counsel was really meant to preempt government moving forward with the House conducting investigation, because now, having appointed a special counsel, they're going to be able to claim it's under investigation. So, well, I would like to believe it was a positive sign, and I do believe the Democrats are disenchanted with Biden, and they do anticipate if he were to run again, except, of course, for having to exercise another massive theft of the election, that they would go down in massive defeat as they would have here in 2022 and in 2020 had it not been for their theft. Let me give a little background here for the audience to catch up on this classified doc business. The documents were marked top secret, contain information related to Ukraine, Iran. Here's a report. The sources confirmed the documents were discovered in boxes that also contained unclassified docs. Many also fell under the Presidential Records Act and thus should have remained in possession of the U.S. government. Shades of Mar-a-Lago. The classified docs discovered in Biden's private office include American intelligence memos and briefing materials related to Ukraine, Iran, and the United Kingdom. Now, this was actually discovered days before the midterm election, but it was not released. Sources told CNN the docs were dated to the second term of the Obama admin from 2013 to 2016. Biden's son Hunter conducted business in Ukraine during those years. No doubt Joe was wanting to monitor it. According to CNN, some of the classified docs were marked top secret. Fewer than a dozen classified documents were found at the office, another source told CNN. It's unclear why they were taken to Biden's private office. The classified materials include some top secret files with a sensitive compartmented information designation, also known as SCI, used for highly sensitive information obtained from intelligence sources. Biden was allegedly aware the documents were in his private office, and he allegedly doesn't know what information they contain. Unaware. Yeah, he claimed he was surprised to hear this. But, of course, that's nonsense, except this isn't the real Joe Biden. It would have been the real Joe Biden to have the docs. This is a body double. If Biden did not know they were there, the question becomes who, having access to highly classified information, stored the documents in Biden's private office without his knowledge? One thing is clear. Despite the gnashing of teeth over Trump retaining classified docs at Mar-a-Lago, Democrats are playing a game of whataboutism, stressing this instance of misuse of classified information is not comparable to Trump because fewer docs are involved. Biden allegedly did not know they were there, and Biden's attorneys immediately turned over the docs to the National Archives. Meanwhile, it's not clear whether the docs that Biden's attorneys handed over are all of them. The only docs turned over were those immediately discovered to be marked with classified headings. It's not clear if government investigators search for more. Attorney General Merrick Garland has assigned U.S. Attorney John Lush Jr., a Trump appointee, to investigate the situation. Now, John, you mentioned GarageGate, and of course you're doing that because a lot of these documents were in boxes in his garage. So that this fake Joe Biden came out and said, well, they were in my locked garage along with my Corvette. Trump actually had a very specifically sealed, in conformity with National Archives requirements, place for the custodianship of these documents, number one. Number two, Trump as president had the ultimate declassification authority. Biden as vice president did not. Number three, therefore, it appears to me the situation are completely asymmetrical, not at all comparable, that they have shown there was nothing wrong with any of the documents that Trump had, but Biden as vice president wasn't even entitled to have any of these documents whatsoever, and it's very obvious to me on first consideration they were all tied into the corrupt activities of the Biden crime family in Ukraine on the one hand and China in the other. John, your thoughts.
Yeah, before I forget, I wanted to tell you the name. It was David Clark, who's the Milwaukee sheriff I was referring to earlier.
Yes.
And I wanted to compliment both of you guys and Mitchell on those sound montages in between on the commercial thing, you know, because that's really cool stuff. So I want to bring up one word. It's called SCIF. You've heard the term SCIF, correct?
Yes.
It's Sensitive Compartmented Information Facility, which is what the president and other people would be putting their special documented stuff, like you just referred to Trump. He had it in a safe. Now, what's interesting, and I've argued this point before, where is the Secret Service in all this? Okay, I was Secret Service. I worked at the White House. I worked at the EOB. I went through every office in the EOB on my nightly rounds when I was working that particular assignment. And if I went into an office and there was a safe wide open, like a floor safe or a desktop safe, documents are laid around. I pick up a document. It's marked top secret. I confiscate it. I write it up, put something on the safe itself, put something in the safe. Then I close it, lock it, spin it around a couple of times, and then I make a report. That's a violation. I just made a violation report. That's at the White House complex. That's a serious thing. And yet you've got all these other things going on where they went into Mar-a-Lago. Secret Service, see, this is where I'm going to criticize Trump. And if there's anybody out there that doesn't understand, I worked in the government. I worked in the Secret Service, and he made mistakes too. I voted for him, so I could criticize him any way I want anyway. But when he allowed the FBI to serve papers or to enter that compound when he's the president or former president. He's still considered under executive immunities and things like that. That was an improper search warrant, in my opinion. If Garland or any of the other representatives tried to do that at the White House, at the gate, the Secret Service officer would just tell him, sorry, but you have to go through the other channels. You're not supposed to come here and do that. You can't do it. They can't serve papers at the White House. They have to go through the Department of Justice, through the Attorney General, who was appointed by the president, and ask them what the hell they're doing because they're not doing it right. The president still has immunity. In my opinion, and I worked there, the Secret Service could have told those guys to go pound sand with their fully automatic weapons on their shoulders or with their hands on their grips and the fingers barely touching the trigger guard and tell them to go pound sand. You know what I mean? That's what they should have done. Trump screwed up on that. If I was his advisor, I would have told him. If he'd asked me, should I let them in? I said, no. Why would you let them in? You know why? Because they can plant stuff. They're violating technical security that nobody has any understanding of. Those people did not have top secret clearance, just like if you had to testify before Congress and they want to go into closed session. You've heard this before. Well, I think that's the subject we need to go into closed session. I think it was on the church hearings or one of the other highly sensitive type things before the Senate House Committee on Foreign Intelligence, or when I had a guy that I used to protect, which was Stanislav Lunyev, the former KGB colonel, who was the highest rated defector to the United States back in the 80s, late 80s. These people don't get that. So if you got an agent out there that doesn't know what he's doing or he's briefed to do certain things, they could go in and plant all kinds of evidence, illegal stuff. That's what they call a black hat team. They go in, they can plant stuff. They can put nanoparticles of stuff in there. They can put poison. They could put monitoring devices that you wouldn't believe. And it would mean the Secret Service Technical Security Division, or TSD, would have to go right back in there before they let anybody in, including the president or first family members at all. That place was contaminated when they let them in. You see what I mean? So it's a security issue. Going back to Biden, who was a former vice president, what did he have to do with having any kind of documents, top secret or otherwise? I had a top secret clearance. Certain people have above top secret. There's people above the president. President has to show some sort of cause, like if he wants to go to Area 51, but he can do it. He's the commander in chief. If they say, well, Mr. President, we can't let you in because it's so top secret that we can't let the president, then all Eisenhower would do is say, no problem. I'm the commander in chief. We're going in with the military now. Oh, that's different. You see what I mean? There's all these ins and outs that they don't want common Americans to know about. And they're pulling these shenanigans and lying to us. That's the biggest thing. So why would Biden put that stuff in his garage? Why would Obama, allegedly, this is what I heard on him, why was he putting stuff in a storage facility that was either a building with a laundromat or a bowling alley or some other place? That's a violation. Trump at least had a safe. There was nothing in it. In fact, all they had to do is ask him, could you give us the number of the safe so we don't have to break into it? They did not do that. They wanted to break into it. Why?
It's more dramatic. Yeah, it's more dramatic news if they had to break into the safe and they wanted to smear him. So they were figuring every possible angle that they could take that would exaggerate this, you know, alleged malfeasance by Trump, where in fact they came up empty. Because the reports I've seen that there was nothing there that showed Trump had done anything wrong at all, John.
Yeah, and that's a perfect response. And I'm glad you said it that way, because other people just don't get it. Kind of like when they go out and arrest Roger Stone and put like 30 SWAT people there and some news service at 3 something in the morning, which is the angelic hour. For some reason, they like to do their stuff at 3, which is sometimes the worst hour to go because most people are dead asleep in their sleep patterns, you see. So they prepare for this and try to make a big deal out of it, and they're prepared to maybe even have a firefight. But I'm telling you, if I was Secret Service down there at Mar-a-Lago, I would have told those guys, have a nice day. You're blocking my view. Move those vehicles out of the way. Real simple. Real simple. Trump screwed up in that, and that's just my professional opinion. Sorry, Mr. Trump. You know, I didn't get any help from him either, but, you know, he could turn around and hire me up as a consultant, and then I'll tell him what really needs to get. But what gets me is all these people out here lying to us. Oh, he's doing a special thing. Oh, it's connected to QAnon. Oh, the white hats are going to come to the rescue. Even Sidney Powell says there's nobody going to Gitmo. Lies, lies every day. The Democrats think we're stupid, or humans are stupid. That's what they do. They're satanic. They'll lie to you right to your face and turn right around and do something else, stall you off. They've stalled us for 2 years. They've stalled again before nothing got done. Barr didn't make any sealed indictment arrests into the 300,000 numbers. No flights to Gitmo were going to Gitmo. Or they turned all the transponders off and there just happens to be a big blank area, a corridor that I look at on a special screen where I could see flights. They're avoiding that area, so there's no flights, but they're building up Gitmo. See what I mean? But I joke about it with this thing with the garage gate, but let's project ahead. Let's analyze and dissect this really carefully. Gerald Ford even confirmed it years ago, and I saw the video over a year ago. He says it will go down like this. He's doing a public appearance after he left office. He says the Democrats will get a male president into office. They will have a female vice president. Then something will happen to the male male president, like in the case of Biden and Harris. Perfect example. And then if something did happen to Biden, then they take the next worst choice that they don't want in there, but that's how they plan it. And then they get her in. She's not even a natural born citizen. Her parents weren't even U.S. citizens at the time of her birth in 1964 or whatever it was up in Oakland. They were both East Indian nationals. You have to be an American citizen of American parents for at least 10 years residency, et cetera, et cetera. So if you're born outside the United States, you can't do it, like Obama, born in Mombasa, Kenya. Still, Congress is violating high treason by not having him arrested and impeached. See what I mean? But go back to this thing about the Gerald Ford theory, which seems to be very, very dangerously close. If Biden has an accident, trips, becomes incapacitated in any way, she steps in. If he has a surgery, she's automatically sworn in as the president or steps in as the acting president until he comes out of surgery. If something happens to him, she would be the president, and Congress still is not challenged the fact that she's not a natural born citizen. They're letting it go. They're overlooking it. That means those people are committing high treason, and I don't care what McCarthy's promising this week. I haven't seen anything done yet. If they're going to do a special counsel, here's the other analysis. I heard a comment or saw a comment about this guy, Hur, who was actually a Department of Justice, who also was protecting the Clintons about their illegal activity years ago. I thought, well, that's interesting. If you go back to Watergate and you look at the special counsels back then, they had special counsels, but maybe that's how they're going to work it out, to work into forcing this guy out where he would resign like Nixon did and then get a pardon by Harris. It's almost a repeat of history. Well, we did it to Nixon. Watergate was BS. They made up a lie or something, and then they forced him to resign. And then Ford came in, and he had instructions or not to go ahead and pardon Nixon. That's it. He got impeached. He got a pardon. That's it. Of course, he went. I'll have to throw this one in because I test people on this one. Do you know where Nixon went after he left on August 9th, 1974, when he left the White House that day? On Marine One?
No, go ahead, John.
Most people would think, oh, he went back to the Western White House to San Clemente. No, he actually went up to New York to go hang around with a buddy of his, Donald J. Trump.
That's pretty damn interesting.
Yeah, let that sink in for a little bit. I mean, I could go on and on about all the connections. Nixon, the alien presence, the alien meeting with Eisenhower at Edwards Air Force Base, and then Holloman's mentioned, a couple other things. He had all this documentation, but it does go into stuff that Nixon knew about. The vice president is very privy to all these things that the president can't go around all over the country doing. He has other things he has to do politically because of what they're doing. So the vice president handles the other mundane things like going to Area 51 and checking things out like that. But if you realize it, and I've got the documentation, I've got the photographs, I've seen stuff for most people. If you want to, you can go online and look it up yourself. Just Google or DuckDuckGo Nixon, Donald J. Trump, and pull up images, and you'll see pictures of them greeting each other when Donald J. Trump is over at some function tuxedo thing. And he's shaking hands, sitting at his table, buddy, buddy. Same thing with Reagan and way back. So they've been grooming Trump for many, many years. I'm just waiting to see where exactly that's going because they did not make any arrests. They're trying these other cases like the Moscow murder thing. And that was intentional. I go, why are they keep doing that? Because it's Moscow. That's it. It's a negative connotation. They had a murder in Moscow, Idaho or whatever. And that's what they want to do. See what I mean? Moscow, Moscow, Moscow. It's a psyop. Most people that are in psyops, like our buddy Scott Bennett, he knows these things. You know, it's real simple. And I look at it, too, because I've got background in training. So I look at these things. I say, yeah, that's what they're doing. But there's a lot of other things going on with how they pick these candidates, no different than in Mexico. Even in Mexico, Hank Gonzalez would be at a cabinet meeting in Mexico, and they would have all these guys sitting around the table. And he would actually tell some guy when he was interrupting him, and he'd tell him, sit down, shut up, you'll get picked next time, or you're going to get it next time, or something. These guys pick their candidates, and that's how they do it in Mexico. Like Senior Fox, you know, Mr. Coca-Cola. The guy would say, oh, you just sell sugar water and blah, blah, blah. Well, he was a pretty good president, and he was pretty amiable to our country. But look at what's going on down there now. They're having shootouts with the cartels. People are getting killed, and they practically eat news media people every day. They kill them every day down in Mexico. And they had I just saw a deal last night where they had an undercover who was embedded in one of the cartels, and he actually exposed his face. I said, well, he better start counting his time, because once they identified him like that, he better be in a safe place. But going off subject, back to the presidents and stuff, if they get to the point of doing this, then they can move in other people like Hillary. Hillary could be appointed just like that to be pulled in somehow at some position. It makes me wonder why when they started to mention Trump being offered a possible candidacy for the House Speaker, things speeded up real quickly, didn't they? Because that was the other.
Yes. Right. Once his name was mentioned.
Exactly. That's the other theory. So these people are playing games at the highest levels. The American public, all they figure, oh, well, I just voted and that's it. That's all they get to do. Americans are tax slaves. They're not taxpayers. They're tax slaves. You know, go to work, shut up, pay your taxes, and go back to work again. See what I mean? They're not privy to all this stuff. And all these congressmen and senators are millionaires. And I know of one in particular. He's got like $200 or $300 million. He's probably one of the richest guys in Congress. They don't need to work there. That guy could pay my bills for the rest of my life and it wouldn't even bother him. These people have so much money in the trillions, like the Khazarians, or excuse me, the Rothschilds. You know, they're connected. The Rothschilds, you know, outrageous amounts of money in the trillions. They start wars and do all kinds of stuff. They own these people. Every time I see stuff like Marjorie Taylor Greene or Ted Cruz going to the border, I get really sarcastic. I said, no, you went to the border, big deal, but you didn't see what the stuff is. You don't know the procedures. You don't know what happens. You don't know the smuggling techniques and the games that they play and the people who are bought off, including our own supervisors and people in Washington who are working for the CIA. So when that cocaine comes in a big tanker truck, which is supposed to have propane gas filled with 8,500 pounds, that's 8,500 pounds of cocaine, then you have to wonder, because they always try to blame somebody else as being the actual person who's taking the bribe. See what I mean? So it goes on and on. People don't get that. I'm not getting any help, you know, and God bless you for having me on the air. At least I can talk about some of this stuff. I encourage everybody to fax Congress and ask, why aren't they helping John Carman? Why aren't they doing whatever you want to ask them? Because now is the time. It's the first week. They've got the brand new Congress, brand new speaker. They're only beginning to touch a few issues, but those are probably bait. It's just enough to keep you quiet. And then when things calm down, it'll go back to the same old standard, back to old business, same as they did before, maybe. I hope it isn't, but I've been hanging on too long. You have, and a lot of Americans are. Bullets are cheap, Mr. Fetzer. And believe me, they are doing these school shootings intentionally because that's what they're trying to fool everybody to believe. Oh, we have to have gun control. They're using everything, including killing our children and not doing what they're supposed to be doing. We need to be armed. You know, are we coming up on a break here?
Yeah, we are. We are, John. Mm-hmm. I want to get back to the thing with Kamala Harris because she's right. Unqualified and would make a terrible president. I don't think anyone really seriously wants her in that office. We'll pick it up.
We'll have to talk about how she talks, her speech patterns, too.
Yes. And I also want to ask you why they wouldn't out Biden. You know, Biden, the fact that this is not the real Joe is so obvious, so easy to prove, John. I'm very concerned why they aren't contemplating doing that. But I think it's because of fear that Kamala would be even worse. Your thoughts as we hit the break?
Yes, exactly that. I mean, how many times have you heard her talking and giving little speeches and she's trying to tell you these little things where she's trying to sell you down the path and you're supposed to believe it and walk with her in her fairy tale, in her science fiction, her fantasies in her head. You know, she admits smoking dope too. So it's like, well, okay, there you go. She put people in prison for the same stuff she did. And yet she still tries to talk to you and act like she's a nut job.
Oh, yeah. She was a terrible attorney general out there in California. It was ridiculous. You're absolutely right. And
they never responded to me.
She's a total airhead. Back with John Carman after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com and we'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting "This is a drill, this is a drill" on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance.
and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, John, I want you to add more thoughts about this dilemma. It seems to me the Democrats are in with such a mediocrity as vice president, total airhead, clearly utterly incompetent to exercise the responsibilities of the office. But then, of course, the present guy, the body double, is clearly incompetent, too. So I suppose she could be manipulated, given the scripts, teleprompters, just the same way they're doing with this fake Biden. But until we can get rid of these electronic voting machines, it seems to me the situation is all but futile. I've done extensive review about the polling before the midterm, exit polling after the midterm. The Republicans did win an overwhelming number of seats. Even James Carville acknowledged implicitly they'd stolen 57 House seats, and I have no doubt 3 or 4 Senate seats from the Republicans so they could retain control. I just found the whole situation so grossly warped that we have utterly lost our ability to influence the direction of our own government. Your thoughts?
Yeah, exactly that. As I'm talking to you, I monitor the news. You know, I look at Fox News, I look at OAN. I don't waste too much time at CNN because it's obvious what they're doing. But you can measure the intel by what stories they're reporting. And then if they report on a certain thing, you know, over the last couple of years, you can see where they're decoying continually on minor stories away from the Ukraine, away from other problem areas. And now they finally hit it up. You know, there's Ducci, confronting Jean-Pierre, and Jean-Pierre is doing the two-step continually, lying. See what I mean? So a lot of people don't even know how to say that word. They say, oh, that's disingenuous. Oh, that's not being some other term, or that's the narrative or some other thing. Even some of those guys are getting aggressive, you know, at the White House press corps. And I've dealt with people at the White House press corps. So you watch what they're talking about continually. You watch the storyline, what they're talking about. That's where they're trying to distract you to look away from the actual shooting at the grassy knoll type of thing. You know, oh, look at the smoke over the grassy knoll. Look over there. They don't want you to look at the storm drain cover. That's where the shooter was. See what I mean? It's all the same. Distraction, decoy, all this stuff about the news media is controlled by the CIA. You know, I'm looking at Merrick Garland right now. You know, what do you think they're really going to do? If it was a serious violation, they can put impeachment processes on the president, get him out of there. That's going to be a dangerous move because then we're forced to deal with Harris. See what I mean? And then they could put somebody else in the vice president's spot, even as an appointee during certain situations. That's going to get even more scarier. We got two more years to go. And yet they're talking like, well, Trump's going to run for, who cares? We need help now. You see what I mean? They're constantly stalling. I don't know if people
who would be involved in ratifying a nominee to be the new vice president, such as Hillary Clinton. It would be the Senate, would it not?
Yeah, exactly. And I was going to try to explain that. I'm trying to think back when Ford stepped in. And then before that, it was like Dave Rockefeller was there. And then, of course, they had
Nelson. Yeah,
that's right. Nelson Rockefeller. And I'm trying to think. I can't even think straight on some of this stuff because I was working Foreign Missions Division doing counterterrorism, counter sniper stuff, looking for Carlos the Jackal, protecting the embassies, you know, all the embassies, including the Russians, the Israelis, Venezuelan, Egyptian, you name them, British, all of them.
Listen to this. Whenever there's a vacancy in the office of the vice president, the president shall nominate a vice president who shall take office upon confirmation by a majority vote of both houses of Congress. Both houses.
There you go. So if they think they could get Hillary in there and Harris was in there, that's what they would try to do, is slip in a ringer and get her in. My God,
yeah, she could never get the approval of the majority of the House, not with a president constitution. Although I suppose some rhinos could defect. I mean, do you think that's even a remote possibility?
Well, sure. How much money does it take to pay off a rhino?
That's the
question that you have to ask. And those people are getting money, and every time they couldn't pass McCarthy, they went back behind closed doors. You know, the term was, they're sitting back there with their stogies and their whiskey or whatever. And they're saying, okay, let's make a deal. You give us this and we'll get you in. You give us what we need on these certain items. Otherwise, they're out of a job. That is not American democracy. Republic democracy is Thomas Jefferson. This is something else where they're making deals. Why is it every time that they get to make millions of dollars, they're getting money? Even Marjorie Taylor Greene went to the border and then she comes back asking for donations. See what I mean? Because Pelosi would hit those people up on fines. Well, if the Speaker of the House has that kind of authority, then I would expect McCarthy to do the same thing to the Democrats and hit them up on fines every time they screw up. You didn't show up at the office. You didn't vote today on this bill. You didn't do this or you didn't do that or some other deal. They're going after a guy named Santos. Okay, let's look at that case real quick.
Yeah.
He got in. They're going after him. And I go, wait a minute. There's something else going on behind the scenes that you don't see. And I remember dealing with Duncan Hunter Sr. in San Diego County for years, reporting corruption, hoping for help and assistance and backup under the Whistleblower Protection Act, even if they had to pull me out and put me under witness protection somewhere and live on a military base. They could have done that. They could have done all kinds of things. They didn't want to work through the law the way I needed to because I had to protect my family at the time. There's something else behind that because they went after Duncan Sr., I'm sorry, Duncan Jr., who was an ex-Marine. I met him, real tall guy. He was taller than I am. He must have been 6'5", at least. They went after him for campaign money that was on a credit debit card that was used allegedly without permission because you can't use the campaign money for personal use. So if you went to the store, bought gas, or bought a masseuse, joke, supposedly, and they went after him and his wife because they supposedly were using campaign money that they got from the taxpayers. So if the money is that controlled, what the hell are they doing with all the Democrats that are spending campaign money hand over foot, and they're stealing it, but now they've got a new speaker? Do you think he'll go after them? I'm not sure. See, that you have to ask these questions. They have little rules that they do, and they still haven't gone after Michael Leroy Byrd on the Ashley Babbitt murder. He never filled out a report. They didn't confiscate the gun to do ballistics. They didn't put him on administrative leave. They hid him at Edwards Air Force Base for 3 to 6 months or longer to hide him. Those people in Congress, Adam Schiff, Nadler, Pelosi, all of them should be put on a special prosecution right now for committing a serious crime because they covered up a murder, and that was an unarmed person on January 6th, and yet they're covering it up. They've already cremated the body. That's like another Arkansas out of Arkansas where they take somebody like Vince Foster and cremate the body before you can go back and do analysis and find out that guy was murdered. That was not a suicide. See what I mean? It's a continual pattern. The people are still being hoodwinked. There's a good old-fashioned word, or bamboozled, you know, a la Malcolm's term. It gets deep. You know what I mean? They got these people talking about the Ukraine. That's a big ATM. I'm watching something right now. They got Karl Rove up there talking about stuff. All they're doing is putting the pro-Democrat stuff up there. It's still a CIA operation. They control the media. They control the movies that go out. And they actually had a guy that admitted, Ulfbrecht, I think it was his name, or he passed away of a heart attack several years ago. He admitted he got his paycheck from the CIA. So when he did stories or news media type items, they had to review it or approve it. So if I write a book, and I can't get my book published in this country anyway because it's been quoted as being too dangerous because it's truthful, then they'll turn right around and then find another way to publish it as another way, but you can't get it done. And I've had death threats. See, that stuff doesn't go away. People don't get that. And I'm watching the ticker tape. They're still hitting the stuff about classified documents. This will last for weeks and months until they get to the point where they've actually done a prosecution. And this new guy, Hur, H-U-R, the Asian guy, he's the new prosecutor that was assigned. If he actually does something, then they need to go do a search warrant on every residence that Biden has. Offices, residences, Delaware, even where he vacationed. And they did, to clarify, they did say that in between the time that he had those documents at his residence, where was Secret Service? Well, technically, at some point in time, he did not have Secret Service protection. That would be their only excuse. Secret Service also controls the security of every location, which means they also have security over documents and files, which means if he had an office or had a place where he locked up files, he can't just put them in boxes. He has to put them in a locked safe. That's the standard right there. I just told you, and people don't get that because they don't know. If he didn't have a locked safe, why didn't they? So they left it haphazardly. You know, and people joke about it. Well, yeah, look at all those boxes over there. You know, how'd those get in there? You know, look at all those laptops from Hunter. How did those get in there? Now they're trying to put another decoy by saying that house was technically owned by Hunter at some point. See how they're dodging? They're trying to make it look like, oh, it was actually his house. So what? Doesn't matter. That makes it even worse. Because if he stayed there, even if it was at a hotel, he had to have had security, Secret Service protection, and if they had documents, they had special people, not excluding the guy with the football who was a military aide when he was president, and that means they have to have secured devices like safes, serious safes. They have to be approved by Secret Service. Just like Hillary had their private server at their private location, and they had all these things going on in a special room. Those had to be secured a special way, and yet she violated security and James Comey said that they couldn't prove intent. Sorry, folks, the mere act of pulling up an email off of a government computer and sharing it with somebody else, there's a disclaimer every time you sign on to a government computer that says that you will not violate certain security issues, you will not share this information, et cetera, under penalty of law. You could be prosecuted, and they list all the laws every time you sign on. So if you sign on in the morning, signed off, went to lunch, came back, you have to sign it and agree to it every time. 33,000 emails. That's one violation is enough to go to prison. And there's people in federal prison for just one violation, even now. So they play games all the time. They lie, cheat, and steal. And right now, you've got the White House press secretary up there lying right now. That's what she does. She's up there lying, no matter what. If her lips are moving, she's lying about something. And she, by the way, since I am a behavioral analysis expert, when I monitor how she's talking, when she's answering questions from Ducci or somebody else, she's diverting, she's looking away, she's closing her eyes, and she's just dancing all over the place. You know, so they've got it up there right now. They're talking about the White House Biden documents, a classified documents scandal is what they're calling it. You know, GarageGate. You can bet every other word. And she's reading from a script. I mean, how many times have you watched her? She comes in with a folder that, yes, that is from script for the day. And she's literally reading exactly what word she's supposed to read. She's telling a bedtime story. You know, it's exactly that, you know, and when people don't realize it, Biden was reading from a script the other day, too. Yesterday, I guess it was yesterday or day before. If you looked at Donald Trump, he might do it fresh. He might do it off the top of it. Kennedy was one of the best. John F. Kennedy was one of our best presidents in our lifetime right now. And he would have certain speeches and stuff like that. But he spoke from the heart. You could ask him questions and he'll quip and answer them very, very quippishly or very intelligently and still answer your questions and get the information across. He was honest. If he didn't know, I hardly ever rarely heard him say, I don't know, but I'll get back to you on that. You know, it's like all the favorite questions. Do you know how many times they've been on the ticker tape at the bottom of the screen on some of these news services? How many times recently in the last 2 days have you seen where they've spotted 366 UFOs?
That's
a CIA op. They're diverting your attention to UFOs. They aren't allowed to release information on actual beings on this planet. They do exist. And there's a treaty, allegedly, that they can't talk about it. If they do, then something happens to them. They can't admit it. And yet they're going around abducting people left and right, changing and sampling their DNA, and they're doing hybrids left and right, and nobody sees it, and it's the big show. You know, I would focus on Ducci and his questions. Watch him carefully because he's really irritating the press secretary, and that's what he's supposed to do is ask questions. And the word contentious came up yesterday because another gentleman asked.
Yeah, John. The word contentious came up. Are you still there? Let me fill in while John may have to reconnect. DOJ indicts Trump for Biden's possession of classified documents. This is from the Babylon Bee. Washington, D.C. After multiple caches of highly classified government documents were found in different locations belonging to President Joe Biden, the United States Department of Justice acted swiftly to indict former President Donald Trump for the alleged crime. This is a serious violation of federal regulation, Attorney General Garland said in a press briefing announcing the indictment. We'll take all measures available to the Justice Department to hold Donald Trump accountable for President Biden being found in possession of these documents. No one is above the law. Sensitive documents related to Ukraine, Iran, and the UK were found in an office used by Biden at the University of Pennsylvania. Though investigations into what Biden was doing for the university were still ongoing. President Biden played such a vital role here at the university, said school spokesperson Barry Windham. He was the head of various committees here at school, including the he is so many things. When news of the indictment broke, Trump was quick to offer his response. How can they indict me for something Biden did? How does that make any sense? A former president said in a post to his Truth Social account. I was in possession of the most beautiful, perfectly filed documents, which I declassified myself. This is just another witch hunt. Wrong. At publishing time, more searches were reportedly already underway at other locations belonging to Biden, including his White House nap room and his SpongeBob SquarePants lunchbox, in hope of gathering more evidence to use against Donald Trump. I think that's got it just about exactly right. John, if you're able to get back, we certainly want to continue with your astute observations. I would simply add that this has got ridiculous beyond belief what's happening here. And I'm extremely distressed we lost him. Let's hope he'll be back right away. Mixed reaction from Republicans to the appointment of a special counsel.
I'm sorry, Jim. I didn't know it would disconnect to you guys. I'm getting John right back.
Damn. Hey. Yeah, by sheerest coincidence, that happened that you had to be away at the very same time his connection dropped, Mitchell. So there it is. In any case, mixed
here
reaction.
To the,
okay, John, continue. Persevere, my friend.
Hey, what does that sound like when you get disconnected and I'm on a special satellite,
yeah,
by the way?
Yeah.
Probably NSA did want me to talk about Jean-Pierre and the word contentious, because this gentleman had asked a question. And it was a little aggressive, because we have a right to know. We have a right to know what's going on, blah, blah, blah. And she came right back very defensive. See, that's a stupid response that she gave. If I was at the border and she didn't want to answer the question, she would have gone in handcuffed. Okay? That's the kind of people we're dealing with. But, yeah, I look at those little distractions when I get a disconnect like that, because there was no reason for it. And unless you guys hung up on me, you know who's listening in, you know,
yeah.
Or shall I say Langley and Fort Meade and a few other places.
Yeah.
That's why sounds like a commercial, but that's why I switched to deafprotection.com, because if you get scratchy connections, disconnects, they're probing and they're bouncing signals where they ping your signal on other satellites through Verizon or whatever. And that's what they do. So if anybody suspects that they're being, monitored, you can switch to another system that I go through, and it cloaks the signal. Literally, it's through a special satellite, military grade, encrypted, the whole nine yards. So, anyway, where did you have a question, or where did we leave off on that subject? Because I was kind of monitoring.
Well, I took the opportunity to fill it with a Babylon Bee satire about how the discovery of all these documents in Biden has led to a new indictment against Donald Trump. So, you know, I mean, it's just so ridiculous how everything is being blamed on him. I mean,
yeah, that's a good point. No matter what comes up, no matter what happens, they will still try to go after Donald Trump to make it look like something. Now, how do we know that they didn't steal documents? And I'm sure that they did, because that's why the FBI does stuff like that. And I've exposed this. They called it the China syndrome. I don't know why they would call it that. That procedure was revealed to me by a former assistant commissioner of internal affairs from U.S. Customs years ago by the name of Mark Conrad, who was a good guy. He passed away years later in Texas of a heart attack. All the stress that we go through as a whistleblower. And he described how they have a white hat team might try to get the information from a location one way. And if the white hat team can't do it, they'll go in and plant something, through the black hat team, the bad guys. Then the white hats will call up at one cubicle at the, squads at the FBI and call up the good guys on the squad number two or whatever team they're on that day and say, hey, this is your anonymous phone call on that one location, and the contraband is in a lock safe at Mar-a-Lago. Just use as a current type of a subject. And they'll say, thank you. And then they'll go get their search warrant signed by a Democrat judge or a compromised judge. In fact, I remember the judge that was on that search warrant was also a compromised person as well. And they went ahead and signed it. Just because a judge signs it doesn't mean that it's legal. Ninth Circuit is one of the dirtiest federal circuits in the United States, and Trump said it himself. I sent him stuff regarding that stuff, and maybe he quoted it because I sent it to him. I'm not sure exactly, especially with all of his visits to the border. Point is, they've got a lot of people that aren't even operating under the law. And a lot of the people in law enforcement that aren't whistleblowers, they're keeping their mouths shut because they don't want to lose their job. And we've also lost suicidal Border Patrol agents just in the last month, at least three or four in the last month or so. They're covering that up as well. Those guys are violating federal law by allowing illegals to come in and being asked to process them. Otherwise, they're supposed to arrest them, detain them. If they come in under amnesty, they're supposed to get a thing like, if you came from Iraq and you're in fear of death, because if you went back to your former country, you'd be killed. That's a special amnesty. They have to get you in and give you a special hearing, which is usually 6 months down the line, give you a document, and then you're supposed to show up at 6 months. The story is they're not doing that at all now because of what they're allowing in. And if you've heard of any Biden speeches, he's acting about this race issue thing where he thinks that, well, by the time that another 15, 20 plus years or something, we'll have more diverse people in the United States. And to be white, it would be a rare thing. I don't know where he's going with that, but it didn't sound good at all.
The projections I've heard, John, is they want to flood 100 million migrants into the United States to permanently change the demographics. We recently have about 330 million, of whom 30 million are already migrants. So bringing another 100 million more, you're going to accomplish that goal, which has been a long-time Zionist agenda, sad to say.
Well, exactly. And for years, they've always
John,
used...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back with John Carman right after this break, and we'll take your calls.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
John, I want to continue addressing these issues, but I'm going to invite others to call in 540-352-4452 to speak with John Carman and me about any of these issues. John, go right ahead, my friend.
Yeah, by the way, I was going to mention the thing about the 11 million illegals in this country every year. That's the stat that they use. It's a standard number that they always rotate all the time. I'm sure it's a lot more now, but, you know, through attrition or people that got citizenship somehow or doing whatever job that they did get or whatever procedure, they still keep it at about 11 million. So it means they're trying to import Democrats. They try to tell people that they got imported by a Democrat president. They owe them the vote, be a Democrat, registered Democrat. And even if they didn't or didn't care to do it, they're still going to get registered if they've got their name and information falsely. And it's like the guy that worked at the White House, that his responsibility is to report on the unemployment rates. I just saw the unemployment rates falsely reported at 3.5% just yesterday on one of these little ticker tape things on a news service. 3.5%? That's a lie. It's over 7%, 7.5%, over 10%. They lie for a living. They're going to continue to do that. And if they get a guy that says the unemployment is above their average rate, which is, I think, 5%, just to give a number, they fire him. They get another guy. And then they get another guy until he lies and say, oh, it's less than 5%. Always less than 5%. See what I mean?
Yeah. And by the way, here's a story about Jean Pierre, just the point you were making before. Two CBS anchors called out White House press secretary Karine Jean-Pierre Thursday refusing to answer basic questions about the discovery of classified documents at President Biden's private office and residence over the past 2 days. She has faced a barrage of intense questioning about the documents. She has frustrated reporters by repeatedly dodging the questions. CBS anchor Errol Barnett and Lena Zak slammed Jean-Pierre for having not answered a single question. For a second straight day now, the White House struggled to answer any questions related to classified documents discovered at locations associated with President Biden, citing Catherine Jean-Pierre, the press secretary, simply reading a statement where she says the president was surprised by the discovery, takes this matter very seriously, the documents were inadvertently misplaced, and he doesn't know what's in them. She has not answered a single question outside of a pre-written statement by the president's lawyer.
I can't have it on speaker.
Exactly.
Brian, mute yourself.
Hello?
Please mute yourself, Brian. You were just coming across the air. John, I mean, this just confirms all the points you're making about Jean Pierre evading the issue.
Yeah, she's referring people to talk to White House counsel, which is their legal contact. And she knows that they're contacting them, and she's just reading the same statement over and over again. She might as well put up a sign and walk out. She's useless because she's supposed to represent the president.
I think she was picked because she's black, she's a woman, she's relatively young, and she's a lesbian. They thought that made her invulnerable to criticism.
Exactly. That's what they do. But they're still going to keep doing it because they're trying to stretch and burst the bubble or push the envelope as far as they can. And I think they've already done way more than that because, you know, there's a lot more stuff going on behind the scenes, and it gets really bad with the satanic stuff, the satanic ritual abuse, the adrenochromes, and the all this alleged recoveries of these pedophile victims and stuff like that. Show us the proof. I'm tired of the lie.
Agreed. We got two callers standing by. 816, I believe that's you, Brian. Join the conversation.
Ask a question. I don't think it was me. I muted, but I don't think that was me that was doing that.
All right.
By the way, okay, I just have a question for John, if I could.
Go ahead.
I read this disturbing story on Henry Macau, and I hadn't heard anything on this anywhere before. And it was out of Anaheim, California. It was a guy that had an 80-year-old neighbor, and this guy was 74. The neighbor was in perfect health, didn't have COVID, didn't call the doctor anything. And ambulance pulled up from some hospital, went in the house, took him out of his house, strapped him to a gurney and hauled him off to the hospital. And, you know, he freaked out and he called the daughter and they couldn't get him out. And so he had a constitutional sheriff, and he called the constitutional sheriff, and the sheriff said, "Oh, this is happening everywhere. You're not the first one." And so then the article went on to say that they get so much money now from people dying in the hospital on ventilators that they're going around and just using their computer programs to figure out where people are living alone. They don't have family around. And then they just go snatch them and kill them off in the hospital to get the money. And I was wondering if you knew anything about that.
Yes. I'm very familiar with what you just said. I'm more concerned about the fact that they're targeting certain people. I know people up in Anaheim right now, and they are targeting some individual I know that has spoken out against things. I spent time in a hospital in 2021, March, for stints, and I had to argue with the intake nurse. I'm a former first responder. I know what I'm talking about. I'm EMT trained, highly trained. And when you have blood, breathing or heart attack issues, they're supposed to get you in right away. And I had some idiot trying to tell me I had to wear my mask. So I'd pull it down below the nose and she would try to tell me to pull it up. And I said, "No, I can't breathe. I'm a heart patient. I'm having heart symptoms right now." They finally got me in. They tried to do a swab. They wouldn't tell me what the swab was. I know what the swab was, but I just wanted to see their response. They said, "Oh, it's for COVID." "Well, I'm not taking it. I refuse." That's $1,500. Then they kept me in the hospital for more than 3 days. They should have got me in for the procedure within the hour or two. And I already did blood and bodily fluid tests, stuff like that. They usually take blood. They could have tested me for stuff. They said, "Oh, well, we can't get you in until we get you a COVID test." So I said, "You're not going to use any swabs. You're not going to do any cavity type penetrations or intrusions or intervention. I'll spit into a cup," and I forced them to do a saliva test, which was negative. I already had ivermectin, too, and I had ivermectin pills in my pocket, by the way. I already know this stuff. Look at Carrie Medej and all the others. When they're going around targeting senior citizens over 50 years of age, and they've already like preemptively profiled these people, that's what I see them doing. Now, if they're doing it for the money, you don't go into a hospital. And we just lost Lisa Marie, and she had a heart attack, but they were doing CPR. They gave her epinephrine. They got her into the hospital, gave her a temporary pacemaker up at Camarillo, I believe. And during that time, they induced a coma. Now, they'll do that. I just talked to another guy who had a self-induced or a medically induced coma because it helps lower the body levels so that they could treat it a certain way and they could deal with it differently than if they were at a different level or they're trying to see what their medication is and how it reacts. Unfortunately, she may not have made it, and she allegedly died. So that's that case.
And I have no doubt she was vaxxed. I mean, that's the key that they want to suppress. Everyone dropping dead from the vax.
Yeah, don't take the jab. I don't care who you are unless you're crazy. You want to take the jab? They were offering $100 for people to take the shot 3 years ago. 3 years ago. And I even did a little undercover work wearing a mask to an open area in a parking lot where they had tents set up near a police station and a post office in a small town. You know, near San Diego, real close. And I would ask the nurses all this other stuff. Oh, so if I take the vaccination, it's an experimental thing and I get like $100 or yeah, that's right. Blah, blah, blah. I put that on the air when I was on the air just about 3 years ago. So I've exposed this stuff and people still don't get it. And if they want to get junk shots with nanoparticles, graphene oxides, mercury, aborted fetal tissue and a bunch of other stuff in there to damage the brain tissue and the brain fibers and the actual encasement and other parts of the body. And if you've got a heart history of any kind, you're already sensitive. If you're over 50, you're already sensitive to that. People are dying left and right, and yet they lied about it. And then Fauci still hasn't been arrested yet. You know, these people are so slow. They're lying to us and nobody's done anything. And bullets are cheap. That's all I got to say on that one. But
Brian, you can stand by. We have another caller from 815 area code. Caller, give us your first name and state and join the conversation.
Hi, Jim. It's Delta from Illinois.
Very good.
Yeah, I wanted to ask James if he was familiar at all with another Secret Service agent who was probably at his time in jail doing a 7-year sentence, a first whistleblower, Abraham Bolden. And,
yeah, I know.
I guess he wanted to testify to the Warren Commission and that James Rowley was in head of the Secret Service at the time. He says that he was appointed by J. Edgar Hoover himself. And that within a week of him bringing up allegations of Secret Service malfeasance, of drunk prostitution, getting girls, and something to do with the assassination, that he was framed, that someone gave false testimony saying that he was taking bribes to turn over records and stuff, and that later on, that man ended up recanting his story. And in spite of that, presidents such as Obama and even Trump refused to pardon him. And he was finally pardoned by Biden last April 21, a long overdue pardon for a whistleblower that's a hero and highly regarded still to this day around the Chicago area.
Yes, and, I know Abraham. I've had him on the air with me at Dark Outpost several months back. Somebody just reiterated they wanted the video. You can look it up on Dark Outpost. I got him on. I love Abraham Bolden. He is a hero. He was set up because he was actually exposing an attempted assassination attempt against Kennedy in the Chicago area. And he's still alive today, as far as I know. He's 87 years old. God bless him. And we need to keep him around like the Japanese people that are like 89 to 100 years old. They call them living human historical landmarks or something to that effect. But what you said is true. I know it in more detail, but LBJ was involved in stuff. This guy Rawlins was a piece of scheitzen. He even had the training center at Beltsville named after him because he was connected to LBJ. So they were forced to move the assassination to Dallas. George Poppy Bush was involved in it directly. I could go on for hours about the JFK stuff on what I know. And I served in the Secret Service in 74. I protected the actual vehicle that Kennedy was in out of our building, because we worked out of this particular building and we kept it for secure reasons. And worked at the White House, got to sit at the desk that he was at. I had to sit there for a reason and do other work there at the White House or the Oval Office and other locations. Bolden specifically wanted to get out the information that LBJ, when he came out yelling and screaming at the Oval Office to Kennedy, because he indicated his interest in who was that black man or who was that person over there. And the staff member said, well, that's an agent. And that was Abraham Bolden. So Abraham was a witness to the shouting match where LBJ was making all these allegations and yelling and screaming. It's unbelievable what they did. They killed our president, and they still have people alive today. And Obama, you would have expected him to do the right thing? No, that guy's from Kenya. He could care less. He's a Muslim. He could care less. Trump, I'm very disappointed in Trump, and I'll say it openly again. He did not give him a pardon either. So we had to wait for Biden to do it? That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm on the same list. I'm waiting for Biden.
Yeah.
I've interviewed Abraham Bolden myself too, John. He's a wonderful guy. He was the first black Secret Service agent.
Yes.
Jack encountered him in the men's room in the White House, and they struck up a conversation, and he decided to appoint him. I don't think Lyndon was happy about it, but then Lyndon was behind the assassination anyway. So, you know, we have a lot we can talk about him. We have another caller staying by. Paul, let me bring Paul in. Paul, go ahead and join the conversation.
Well, thanks for having me on today. I'll do another little quick rant. I'll start out by saying, the intrigues and machinations of government. It's great theater, for sure, but how does it really affect all of our lives? As I've said for years, and many, many people, once they've heard it, they kind of knew it was true and they agreed. No mayor, no congressman, no senator, no president has ever really affected my life in any way, shape, or form. So to be honest with you, even if these people are fake or real, you know, the fake Joe Biden, the fake Hillary Clinton, you know, Obama, none of it really matters. And even when you look at the current situation with the vaccine murder campaign, and that's all it really is, okay? In the end, and I said this on your show, Jim, probably back in 2020 or so, and you got kind of mad at me when I said it, but, you know, it's basically true. I said Anthony Fauci didn't kill anybody, okay? None of these people are really doing anything to any of us except lying to us. And as you know, people are lining up to get these shots, okay? I've met people that have had two or three, okay? There's no law against stupidity. And I feel terrible for what's happening. But in the end, all these people are doing is standing up to us in the TV and the newspaper and telling lies constantly. Does that mean we shouldn't do anything about it? No, I'm not saying that. A good friend of mine is always talking about Article 1, Section 8, blah, blah, blah. I don't even know if that's correct. I never even looked at it, but something about treason and insurrection. And then it's our duty, okay, to deal with it. And as he always likes to say, the Constitution doesn't prohibit any sort of action. It doesn't specify exactly how, which means, I guess, that all, you know, methods are open, you know, be it hanging, guillotine, you know, firearms. But in the end, that's the only answer. There's no voting. Doesn't matter who Speaker of the House is. And as I like to say, how many laws do we need that we don't already have? Okay. Why do we even need a legislative body at all at this point in time? Tell me what laws we don't have that we need, and I'm open to listen. But in the end, it's all just a gigantic fraud and theater, and most people are right not to care about it.
18 U.S.C. 2381 is the high treason. I start quoting laws to people left and right so that they understand. Oh, there's a law for that? Hell yes, there is. Lying to a federal official, 18 U.S.C. 1001. Bribery, 18 U.S.C. 201. You learn that in the first day at U.S. Customs and other academies. By them lying and people suffering, and they claim that it's a mandate. Mandates are not laws. You could tell them to go pound sand. Mandates don't mean shitesin. You can mandate people all day long and recommend. They're using keywords, as I think I picked up on, and they do this all the time, and people are stupid. They think, oh, my God, I got to wear a mask. No, you don't. In fact, it's worse. And I've done the studies too. Look at Carrie Medej, one of the best doctor whistleblowers, and all the others. But it's amazing how stupid these people are thinking they've got to do it. And I still see people wearing masks today, even in California, driving in a car wearing a mask.
We're in agreement there. And I will just quickly add that I don't disagree with the fact that they should be held to account. Okay, I totally am on board with that. But it's very, very frustrating, my inability to reach people. Even Jim will testify his inability to reach people in his own family. There's a host on RBN that does a regular show, and he says that basically almost every single member of his family and his extended family is on board with the virus and the vaccine, and they don't listen to him at all. And this is a prominent guy with a show. So,
They've extorted people. You have to bring in the extortion part. You can't work this job unless you get a shot. And I know somebody actually was forced to get a shot. That's extortion. That's part of the lie. They can be held accountable. I hate that phrase because people in Congress always say it.
I do as well. But you just mentioned earlier about the fact that you knew about the mandate. Jim knows from me calling to the show. I was telling, the show audience when I called in, the mandates don't mean anything. It's a completely false,
that's right,
misleading term. And if there's no legislative act, and again, there's court decisions on this. You can't mandate a medical procedure, okay? There's case law on the fact that you cannot be forced to undergo a medical procedure. That's why
exactly.
When you go to the hospital, they have to sign all the consent forms.
So they can't be sued. Yeah, and when I worked at the border, I'll give you a comparison. When I worked at the border, they tried to tell me to do something that was counter to my oath of office. And I automatically challenged whoever was on the radio, said not to chase somebody down or don't grab somebody if they ran through. I tried to get them to identify themselves because that would have gone all over sector, which would have been on a federal frequency, and they failed to respond. They cannot ask me to violate my oath of office, and there's a lot of law enforcement officials out there that know this. It's the same thing with saying the mandates, recommendations. And how many times have you heard Biden himself saying, take the shot. Take the shot. You guys are an idiot. Real simple.
Right.
They can't tell you to
right.
do that.
You know what?
I know more about my
Trump
body
said,
than they.
Trump said it too. Trump made it clear. Oh, he doesn't believe it should be mandated or forced, but he goes, I did it. It's good. The vaccine is a good thing. We've all heard Trump say that.
Well, he took the cocktail, is what I understood. He did remdesivir and some other stuff. He took the cocktail, did not take a shot.
I don't believe he took anything real. I believe Trump knows. There's two schools of thought, and Jim, I know, believes in one, that Trump was duped and fooled and basically manipulated by these people, or the other school is that he knew and he's in on it and he just went along. That's what I believe. I can't prove it, but that's my
I think you're right. I think you're very correct because I see the same indicators, and I'm a specialist, behavioral analysis, patterns, and all this stuff. I see these things. If he was not against it, he would have said something and they would have kicked Fauci out. They would have charged him immediately. And believe me, these shots are not the same shots in each country, each state. The Russian version is different. There's people in South Africa that aren't even taking a shot. They're taking ivermectin and they're taking, stuff for like quinine. Australia is a test case where they're locking them down to see what they will do. They're going to fight back or they're going to die. That's what they're doing. It's like what they did in Nazi Germany. And I don't blame Uncle Adolf in the least, because that's the other propaganda that they're telling everybody as well. That's another show in and of itself. But it's constant propaganda. It's all run by CIA. Yeah, there's Ducci again right now. keep fighting.
I'll leave it. Just quickly, I know I got a lot of time. Appreciate it, Jim. This analogy occurred to me absolutely this morning. It was one of those things. The Wizard of Oz is a fantastic movie on so many levels, and I've actually heard about it in terms of an allegory for free silver versus gold and so forth, and that's all fascinating to me. But I look at it this way. In real life, we're given the idea that the government is up there and they're more or less benevolent and they're trying to protect us from malevolence, whether it's a virus or terrorism or whatever. And it's really the opposite. The Wizard of Oz, for example, was basically a good guy, but he said he was a bad wizard. And so he used this very aggressive, malevolent image to protect his own fraud and his own incompetency. And we have the exact opposite right now. The government is nothing but malevolently evil. They're paying vaccine manufacturers to make and distribute the vaccine. That's why all the shots are free. So it couldn't be more clear that the government itself is the enemy.
Yeah, and they're putting out a guy. They're putting out a guy who seems innocuous, this Biden grandfatherly figure, to give a nice image to the evil government, just the opposite of Oz. That's very clever, discerning comparison of the analogies. John, go ahead. And we're getting close.
Yeah, there's a propaganda thing out there, but they're trying to kill off 5 to 7 billion people on the planet, and the Khazarians aren't going to suffer at all. The Rothschilds, the Schwabs, the Soroses, and all these other people, they're not going to suffer. Hell, they're even talking about Kissinger, and I used to have to protect Henry Kissinger when he was in the White House during that time. So there's all these globalists, compartmentalized at that time, of course, but you're finding out all this stuff's going towards the same thing. We don't even get pure food, non-GMO, but Billy Gates has got an underground base that was abandoned, and he's got a place up in northeast Dakota where they're doing this, and they've got underground bases for the continuity of government, COG, where they can last over 150 years, allegedly. Pure food, pure water, pure sources that they have for certain people, the rest of us don't have. And they're going to do it. They're going to start killing people one way or another. It's constant. Everything from dropping nanoparticles in the air to contaminating the water, and they're doing that. And I drink bottled water to avoid that stuff. It's always something, you know. So we're all being lied to. Take your best.
I just love having you back. I'm already looking forward to yet a third engagement here in the very near future. Paul Bryan, Chicago, thank you all for calling in. It's been a real pleasure, John. In a moment that remains, where can people get more of your stuff?
Well, I'm on Dark Outpost hopefully every Monday after 8 o'clock a.m. Pacific Standard Time. CustomsCorruption.com is my website. I've got a Facebook account. Just look me up, John.A.Carman. I've got a Venmo account.
Thank you, John Carman, so much. Spend time with your family over the weekend. Don't miss a precious moment to them. We do not know how much time we have left.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hand of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and...